progress toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Grab somebody by the hand, look them right in the eye, and repeat after me and say, on today, I want you to know I'm past my past. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we love you. We honor you. We bless your holy name. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you kept us. We thank you for the baptism on this morning. We thank you for everybody within the sound of my voice. Lord, we ask that I decrease so that you may increase, oh God. We ask that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Now, Lord, let he that has ear hear what the Spirit says to the church on today. Give us a mind to apply the word from up on high. Allow us to be better Christians when we leave here than what we were when we got here. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. And the church said, amen. 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 You may be seated in his presence. Amen. I am past my past. You'll hear us sometime just say, out of frustration, out of being tired, we will tell our homeboy, our homegirl, hey, you know what, man, I'm over it. And that's really cliche because we say I'm over it, but we really are not over it. We will say it is what it is. And then we'll proceed to talk about it for the next several hours. So many of us are doing only okay in our present. Some of us are not doing okay in our present. And some of us are truly, truly struggling in our present. And the only reason that is because we're holding on to our past. We're holding on to grudges over stuff that happened months ago, years ago, decades ago. Still mad, tight jawed, tight lipped, mugging people because we're holding on to things from our past. So many of us are crying ourselves to sleep over things that happened when we were children. Some of us are far from being children and still struggling and can't move like God wants us to move because we're still holding on to things that happened so long ago. We are still holding on to bad things that we've done. We've done some things. We're not always the victim. Sometimes we're the victimizers, and we've mistreated people, and God has forgiven us, and we're still holding on to things that we've done against God and against other people. Some of us, a lot of us, are letting people back in from our past that God has escorted out of our present. God walked them out, showed them to the door, and you done celebrated his or her dismissal, and later on down the line, hey, big head. Y'all know about the hey, big head text, right? We all hip to that, okay? You sleep. But we let people back in who God has shown the door. Amen, amen. Come on, y'all walk with me on the day. But we are allowing our past to bind us up. Satan doesn't even have to come by because we're stuck in the mud of our past. And I'm not going to be before you long, and I'm going to go right into the first point, and it's one of my favorite things, but it's simple. Number one is, let's keep it real. Can we do that? Let's keep it real, and I'm going to pull it right from Philippians 3:13a. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Okay. So Paul, Apostle Paul, planner and overseer of many churches, writer of over half of the New Testament in the Bible that we read every day and on Sunday. Paul said that he was not slack behind any of the other eminent apostles, but he was right where they were. He had no problem with all of his many accomplishments, with all his intellect and with all his posterity and all his prosperity, with everything that he had accomplished. He had no problems keeping it real and saying that I haven't arrived yet. By no means am I where I need to be. What are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is a lot of us are sitting here acting like we've arrived and we have it all together. And we say so cliche, none of us are perfect. No, we far from perfect. We got big issues, let alone, you know, because see, I'm going to assume that Paul had it way more together. I know that's not grammatically correct, but he had it way more together than what some of us have right now. Amen. Can I get some agreement on that? That the apostle Paul had his stuff together way more than us, and he let it be known by keeping it real that, hey, let me start off here. And he says the same thing in 12. Hey, not yet that I've arrived. I have stuff to work on, and we have to keep it real. We got to quit sitting around like we got it all together. We hurting on the inside and can't sleep at night, and we come up here smiling. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. That is not how you feel. We done got so cliche, we just say exactly what the people say. God is good. That's not how you feel right now. You got paid Friday and was broke before you clocked out. You didn't feel like blessed and highly favored when your money was gone before you clocked out on Friday. Let's read this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, somebody say therefore. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. See, the minute that you think you got it all together, the minute you think, well, I've been married 50 years, can't nobody tell me nothing. The minute you think that you don't need a marriage conference, you don't need a emergency session with the pastor, you can work it all out by yourself, that's where you're going to fall. The minute you think that you got it all under control and you don't need to pray and you got it all figured out, that's where you're going to fall. I've heard a preacher say, and I can't take credit for it, but I like it. But what he said was, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you need to figure out what is there for. Amen. Why is God saying therefore? Because you need to figure out why it's there. So it's there to let you know that whenever you get too big for your britches, you can expect to fall. So let's keep it real. Some of us need to admit, I'm still mad at my baby's daddy and baby's mama because he didn't give me any money and he didn't treat me right and he didn't get the kid on the weekend and she's never around and she just wants more child support. Get over it. We hold on to the past and it's prohibiting and keeping us from what God has for us in the future. Galatians 6:3 says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Don't let people set you up. The Bible tells us to beware of flattery lips. I don't care how cute they tell you you are. I don't care how good they tell you you do whatever it is that you're doing. The minute we start to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, we are in trouble. Because it's their house today. But like the old folk would tell us, it could be my house tomorrow. We never know when trouble's going to come our way. And we always have to be humble and realize that without God, we are nothing. We are nothing. We have to keep it real and understand that we have to start putting those things behind us so we can move forward. And we can't think that we've arrived no matter how much money we have. We can't think that we've arrived no matter how long we've been saved. We can't think that we have arrived because we can sing or because we are preached. We have to remember that we are nothing. And it doesn't matter how many good works you do. Doesn't matter how many good deeds you do. Nothing that we can do can get us into the kingdom of heaven. Without God, we are nothing. We have to allow the past to be the past. And I know people are going to remember us for our past. All my new saints who got baptized today, people are going to try to throw in your face who you used to be. And what you used to do. You trying to preach to me? We were at the club together. So, we're not going to be in hell together. You better come on over to this ark of the safety of the covenant and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I don't care what we did on earth together. We learned this morning that our citizenship is where? In heaven. We just passing through here. We just passing through. My next point is, let's keep it in the rear view. Let's keep it in the rear view. See, you can't move forward focusing on what's behind you. Okay? Okay, let's read what Paul said. Paul said, but the one thing I do, I haven't arrived. I'm not all that in a bag of chips. I don't have it all figured out. I've done some things, but let me tell you, I have to remain humble. But the one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind. Now, let me start off here. I got a lot of football buddies, and every time I get with them, they want to go back to 1997 and talk about what we did in the IL. And that's good. That's good. And that's great, and I don't mind doing it. But man, that was 23 years ago. Okay? And then I got some college buddies I played ball with, and all they want to talk about is what happened at Mo West. That was great, guys. But and so what am I saying is that we even got to forget some of those good things that have happened, because we'll get caught up on those accomplishments and we'll still think we somebody because of things that have happened in the past. I don't care how many degrees you get. Without God, you're nothing. Don't care how much money you get or how much you got in your 401k. Without God, we are nothing. Paul said that I'm leaving everything behind. Everything. I'm forgetting those things, the bad things I've done. I got to let them go too. I can't hold on to my sins and my iniquities. I have to let these things go. I have to forget about these things. And I heard somebody, I can hear you saying in your mind, Pastor Trey, it's impossible to forget these things. It's hard to forget these things. So I did a little research, and in the Greek, well, let me say this first. It's not really impossible to forget things, because I started thinking about how husbands forget anniversaries. Wives forget that their football game's on and make plans to take family pictures. Kids are the best at selective memory because they forget every chore. Every task. I can tell my kids, hey, I need you to go up there and clean your room up. I see them 5 minutes later. Didn't I tell you to clean up your room? I forgot. So don't say that it's impossible to forget things, because we forget. We forget phone numbers. I told them when I struggled with tithing, I would forget my checkbook. Just so you know, the Spirit knows that you forgot your checkbook on purpose. Amen. My granny Pearl, may she rest in heaven. Sometime we go out to eat, and she reach over and tell Dad, hey, sonny, I forgot my wallet. And we just be sitting there chuckling because we knew what that meant. She expected Daddy or somebody to foot that bill. But we forget what we want to. Amen. But listen, in the Greek, what Paul is saying here is that not that you have to actually literally forget something, but in the Greek here, it's basically saying that it's going to come up. It's going to surface, but what we're not going to do, what Paul said he's not going to do, is he's not going to entertain it. Amen. He's not going to give it life. He's not going to let it prioritize and step in and interrupt what God has going on in his life. He's going to learn from it, and he's going to kick it back to the depths of hell where it belongs, but he's not going to let it keep coming up in his life every day. Satan will use all type of stuff to hunt us. The death of loved ones. I remember my son died. Every March 24th to May 26th, I shut down shop. Lord said, when are you going to get over it? He's with me. You got other work to do. I don't got time for you to take a week off twice a month for the 2 months of the year. You got to keep pressing. Because for us to fold and act like one with no hope, it means that we don't have faith in the power of Jesus Christ. So when these memories come up, we can celebrate and reminisce, but we can't let it control and dictate our lives to a point of depression. We're going to break some chains today, y'all. We got to get loose and break chains so we can be free in the name of Jesus. It doesn't just erase from your memory. I'm not asking you to do the impossible, but when it comes up, we have to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going to keep entertaining the death of somebody, because I'll see him when I get to glory. And I got work to do here, so I can't keep focusing on those things that are behind me, because I got to move forward. I got to keep that in the rear view. Romans 8:1-2. Let's stay here for a minute. There is, therefore, somebody say therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm going to stop right there. You walk by the Spirit if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're walking in the flesh. So, therefore, now no condemnation to those. Who are the those? The those are those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation for us's. If you're in the us's, you can raise your hand, because there's no condemnation for you. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Check this out, y'all. Condemnation, and we still leaving things behind. Condemnation for those who are saved is from Satan. Okay? So, we can no longer be condemned. We know that, right? So, why are we allowing sin to bound us or keep us bound with guilt? And God has forgiven us, but we still hold on to those things that have happened to us and things that we've done. Now, condemnation is from Satan, but conviction is from God, the Holy Spirit. So if I've already been convicted, how can Satan try to condemn me? That's double jeopardy. You get what I'm saying? God has already forgiven me, and now I'm going to allow Satan to come back and condemn me with guilt and have me feeling bad when I've already taken it to the Savior. Okay, y'all still looking at me a little confused. If they put me on trial for murder and I get found innocent, and it doesn't even matter if they have acquitted me and I admit it the very next day, they can't come back and charge me again. That's called double jeopardy. So I'm guilty for what I did. I committed the sin, but I gave it to Jesus and I turned away from my wicked ways, and God forgave me. So Satan, you got to get behind me, and you can't condemn me for what God has already forgiven me for. Satan is trying to keep us bound, but therefore is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. For the law, Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a couple laws I'm going to touch on, and we're going to move to a close. To make the point, I'm going to discuss the law of gravity. Okay? Because we're talking about laws here. Anything that falls from the air, from a tree, from whatever, it must hit the ground. It has to land. Correct? All right. So if Roy throws a ball to me and I catch it before it hits the ground, I have defied the law of gravity because I have stopped said object from its destiny, from where it is rightfully supposed to go. Y'all know where I'm going with it. So if he throws this object and I don't catch it, it's going to hit the ground. The law of gravity. The law of sin is that I'm born in sin, so my destiny is supposed to be hell. This is where you're going to shout. But as I was falling down to hell, God stretched out, he reached out his hand and caught me and defied the law of sin. And then I heard a preacher, there's another law, and the Bible says that if I be lifted up, that I'll draw all men unto me. That's the law of magnetism. So there's all type of laws here that if you lift up Jesus, he's going to draw people unto himself. And if you're on your way to a burning hell, which we all were, but if some of us still are, the hand of Jesus is waiting to catch you. You just have to reach out. But if you're not safe in the arms of Jesus, then condemnation does apply to you. There's only one way to avoid condemnation, and is that is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We still holding on to things, and the prophet Isaiah 43:18-19 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." See, if we do not remember and stay hooked into the things that were before and that old stuff, that past stuff, all that drama, if we just leave that stuff alone and don't entertain it, the Bible says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." I remember we bought Aviana some shoes. Bought her a couple pair. And I keep seeing her come down in these old dusty shoes. I said, "Babe, why you keep wearing these shoes? And you got shoes up there just as crispy as can be." Y'all young folk, I understand. Crispy mean they cool, y'all. They mean they cool. And they just good. I said, "Why you?" "I don't know, Daddy. I like them and they're comfortable." We can't move on to the new stuff, because Satan has allowed us to be comfortable in the old stuff. And God got brand new shiny J's and Huaraches and all this waiting for us. Stacey Adams and Gucci, he got it all waiting for us. But we want to stay back here in the 1997 shoes that we had for 20 years. They busted up, run down, and busting out the side. And God's like, "I got better shoes for you, but you want to keep walking in them raggedy suckers? It's time to do a new thing." He said that "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" God operates in doing things that people can't even imagine. Yeah, it don't even make sense. We can't even perceive it in our human minds. He said that "I will even make a road in the wilderness." There are no roads in wilderness. There's no road. You got to cut through all the grass and the trees and the bushes. You got to get through all the stuff. There's no roads in wilderness. What is God saying? That if you leave the past in the past, I will make a way out of no way. I'll open doors that no man can open. I'll close doors that need to be closed. I'll get people out of your life who need to be out. Just give me the communion over your life. He said, "I'll give you rivers in the desert." There's no waters in desert. Because if there were, it would cease to be a desert. But God's saying that I operate in the supernatural. When I was younger, I always heard the older preachers talk about the sea of forgetfulness. I thought it was in the Bible. It's not. So you don't have to look for it. But I see where they got it from. It'll preach. Because if you go over to Micah 7:19, it says that he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all, not some, all our sins into the depths of the sea. So it don't mean that it's forgotten. It just means we no longer gonna count them. We no longer gonna entertain them because they covered by the blood. Let me tell you one of the main benefit of being covered by the blood. God no longer sees your sin once we repent. Once we repent, God looks down and he sees the blood of the Lamb that has blotted out all of our transgressions. So if God can't see it no more, why are we still holding on to it? It's in the depths of the sea when it comes to God, but it's in our front passenger seat when it comes to us. God then kicked it to the bottom of the sea, and we still riding around with our past riding shotgun. We have to let it go. We have to let the past be the past. If I come and apologize to you and you still mad at me, I'm just going to pray for you. But I can't lose no sleep because you still mad at me. If I've repented to God and I've come and given you a sincere apology, you can either forgive me or not, but I got to move on. We lose in sleep because of what people say about us and got to mumble about us. So what? Let the past be the past. And you, I don't care what people make fun of you for. Doesn't matter. She got kids out of wedlock. I did too. How many different men she gonna have? How many different ones? Because see, some of us, we've been holy our whole little lives that we forget that there's a whole bunch of farmers in here. We got former prostitutes, former dope dealers, former liars, former thieves, former backbiters. We got farmers all up around here. And then when somebody come in here still struggling, we want to get high and mighty. We've all been delivered from something. Everybody in here is a farmer. I didn't say farmer. I said farmer. My final point, and we're going to get ready to go. Let's keep pressing. Let's keep pressing. And after Paul has forgotten those things which are behind and he's done entertaining, he tells, this is still part of the one thing. This is the one thing. It's a two-part one thing, but it's still the same thing. He said, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Come on, I can't get no help in here. I can't. But listen, I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Reaching means that I can't hardly get to it, but I'm going to keep on reaching, kind of like the woman with the issue, as she had to struggle to get to the hem of his garment, but she knew that if I just keep reaching, so while I'm reaching, I motivate myself because I understand that I'm pressing toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And when Paul uses words like reaching and pressing, he's letting us know that there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some adversaries, some enemies, some haters, some backbiters, some naysayers. There's going to be a lot of people trying to stop us from reaching and pressing towards the goal that Jesus Christ has for us. They used to tell us that if it was easy, anybody could do it. People are not interested in seeing you succeed. That people that you got in your circle hoping and waiting for you to fall, God's trying to give them the door out and you letting them right back in. There are people who want to see you fail and they wishing harm on you and you sitting here eating and drinking and having a good time with them. The Bible says that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. there's a little meme with a little Asian guy. He said, I got a list about this big of people I keep in my circle. That's how big his list was of people he could trust. And why that's sad, it makes sense. Because until we change our environment and who we hanging out with, we need to shrink our circles down some. Amen. Because there are people close to us that are making it harder for us to press towards the goal for the prize. There are people that are trying to hold us down like crabs in a bucket, and we're trying to get right, but we got people around us who we think are for us, and they're holding us down. We know it to be true. They did it to Jesus. They did it to Jesus when Judas betrayed Jesus. He was supposed to be on Jesus' side, but he stabbed him in the back over some silver, y'all. If they did it to Jesus, they sure will do it to us. But as long as I got Jesus on my side, it don't matter if the world is against me, because God is more than the world against me. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Once we came over to the body of Jesus, we were new. We were new. God no longer sees our sin. He sees us. He sees the blood of the Lamb. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. And see, that spirit of conviction, when you do wrong, Christians, when you do wrong, saints, that means that you truly saved. So when you get that spirit of conviction on you, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, it's time to ask for forgiveness. Now, when you ask for forgiveness and God grants you a pardon for your sins, we got to leave that in the back. Because the Bible, then it says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, I'm going to tell y'all a story, and it's going to be a little funny. So hold yourselves together. I know a man who has a dog. And dogs are smarter than what y'all think. This is what the man told me. And when I was walking, when the man was walking his dog, he took him outside, and the dog was sick. He had a little upset stomach. He left a mess in the house. And it was early, early in the morning. And the man was already upset, y'all. Am I the only one who's ever been upset? I mean, is he the only one that's ever been upset? So he gets the dog out, yanks him out, hooks him up, you know, so he can go outside and finish his bit. He outside freezing. He walks around. And he said, well, you know, in order to get this cleaned out, I'm going to go to the back. I'm going to get the hose. And, you know, but he can't let the dog go, because if he lets the dog go, everybody got to be cleaned off at this juncture. It's a real mess. But the dog is pulling one way, and the man is trying to reach the other way, trying to get the water hose off the hook in the back of the house. It's a real show going on out here, y'all. I'm telling you what I heard, okay? And so, anyway, the man gets mad at the dog. And I guess, you know, the man has gotten mad at the dog before in the past. And even when the man gets mad at the dog and goes off of him, hits him with the newspaper or whatever, the dog still forgives him. He lets it go. He still, when the man comes home, lick him right in the face and wants me to pet him and does all these things. He immediately forgets what the man did to him that morning. He don't even care anymore. But while he was out there trying to get the hose and keep the dog, well, the man got frustrated. And all I can think of is that the dog must have figured out the cadence. He must have figured out my tone. He must have figured out the man's, you know, movement. Because when the man went to get the dog ducked. I'm telling y'all the truth here. The dog ducked. And listen, nobody's seen this. I'm telling y'all this, and I'm going somewhere with it. Nobody's seen it. It was dark outside, y'all. Nobody's seen it. So the dog kept pulling. He was hurting the man's hands, and it was a big issue, and the man lost his cool, and he went out to the dog. The dog ducked. The man spun around and bit the dust. Dog sitting there looking at the man like, what's wrong with you? The dog has a short-term memory and forgives easily, but he never forgot that you wasn't going to catch me again. So he wasn't going to live in his past, but he definitely learned from it. And he was like, oh, when he pulls the chain and yells, I better take cover, because the last time he pulled the chain and yelled, he hemmed me up. So this time, I'm going to be ready. And dark 5 o'clock in the morning, all, I went back, kicked all air, and bit the dust. I'm laying on the ground just laughing, asking God for forgiveness and telling the dog, Obi, I'm sorry. Had to apologize to the dog. And as soon as we got back in and got everybody cleaned up, he was my best friend again. I was still a little salty, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. My side still hurt a little bit. But the point of it is that God forgives us so quickly. And even though sometimes he got to whoop us and chastise us because he chastised those he loved, he still, as soon as we repent, he just never, ever stops loving us. And church, we got to learn from our past, and we got to forgive as quick as the dog did, but we can't keep on repeating the same thing and acting like we're just gullible like that. I can forgive you, and I may not forget, but I'm going to love you, but I'm going to keep my head on a swivel to make sure you can't keep doing the same thing to me over and over. But we stuck in our past, but Jeremiah said that this is what the Lord said: for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and I'm getting ready to close, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Oh, I hear the Lord saying, I don't care what you've been through, but that is not indicative of where I'm going to take you. I know it's been hard, but I've been preparing you for such a time so I can elevate you. And whatever Satan has meant for your destruction, I'm going to turn it around and use it for your destiny. Whatever Satan has meant to annihilate you, I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to bless you. Listen, Job lost it all in a matter of hours. And before it was all said and done, he had more in the end than he had at the beginning. God said that I know the plans that I have for you. We have to trust God's plans even though we don't know what they are. So what we're doing is we're focusing more on what we can see instead of what we don't know. See, let me tell you what we're doing. We're focusing more on what we've already been through instead of trusting God for what he's going to bring us to. Because we're holding on to things that are tangible. But my Bible tells me that we walk by faith and not by sight. I gotta leave the past in the past. The Bible tells me that we were in need of a Savior. And the reason why there is no more condemnation is because God sent his only begotten Son down through many generations, because we needed a Savior. We needed a mediator. We needed an in-between. We needed somebody that could take away the law of sin. And Jesus led this perfect life, y'all. Come, there's somebody in here who needs to know Jesus. So can I spend a little time and talk about Jesus? Is it all right if I talk about the Messiah? Is it all right if I talk about the one who saved my soul? He led a perfect life. And then they found him guilty even though he was innocent, y'all. And what they did was is they marched him from hall to hall. And they beat him
all night long. Well, did I say that he was innocent? But he never complained, y'all. He never worried about what was happening. I believe that every stripe they laid on him, he left it behind him. You see what I'm saying? Every punch that they did, he put it in the past. Every piece of beard that they pulled out his body, he left it behind him, because he kept focusing on the prize. He kept focusing on the goal. He kept focusing on the call that's on his life. Y'all, we all been called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So whether you're preaching, you've been called. If you're teaching, you've been called. If you don't know what your calling is, you have been called. But he kept taking everything and putting it behind him. And he kept reaching in front of him. He kept pressing. And he kept pressing right up Golgotha's hill. He kept pressing, and he carried the cross for you and for me. The Bible says that they drove nails through his hands. And every nail that went through, he put it in the rearview mirror. And it says they put a crown of thorns on his head, and he put it in the rearview mirror. They shot craps for his clothes, and he put that in the rearview mirror, because the Bible says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when he asked for forgiveness for them, he was done with the sin. It was over. It was finished. It was terminated. And they hung him in between two thieves. And now he's still pressing. And even though it looks like it's over, the Bible says that between the sixth and the ninth hour, that he gave up his ghost. They didn't take his life, but he freely gave it. Come on, y'all. He freely gave it. And then the Bible says that they laid him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb. And he laid there all night Friday night. And he laid there all night Saturday night. But he's still pressing, y'all. He laid there all night Saturday night. And he's still reaching, y'all. And early Sunday morning, he got up with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. And now, therefore, is no condemnation to you and to me. He got up for you and for me. And I assure you that he died, y'all. Don't let them tell you that Jesus didn't die. He died, but he got back up. So I'm going to leave the past in the past. The only past that matters to me is that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again. So let me help somebody. Let's break some chains in here. That weed you smoked last night, leave it in the past. The bottle you popped last night, leave it in the past. That bad thought you had a few minutes ago, leave it in the past. Ask God for forgiveness, turn away from your ways, and ask God to bless you. Leave it in the past. It doesn't matter what you've done, God is able. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above more than we can ask or think. The people here who've been molested and you just can't let it go. There are people here who've done some things that don't nobody know. But guess who knows? God knows. And if you ask for forgiveness, he's already forgiven you. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. Don't leave here. And I'm getting ready to take my seat. But don't leave here bound by your past. Whether you saved or not, There are people in here saved right now that have all the benefits that we just talked about. And they're bound by their past. They're bound by people. And let me tell you, being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, when that day happens, sin won't have any more power. It won't have any more priority. It won't even have any presence. Because when we get to heaven, y'all, sin won't make it in. So when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Because Satan's going to be cast into the abyss. Okay? When people remind you of what you used to be, tell them that I know the plans that God has for me. when people remind you of how you used to be a womanizer, a club hopper, a bottle popper, weed smoker, say old things have passed away. And I might fall short today, but the Bible tells me that God's mercies are new every morning. Yeah, I didn't come in here to make nobody run around and act crazy. The Lord wants us to know that let the past be the past. And no matter what you're going through or what you've gone through, your ladder will be greater than your past. Did y'all hear me? Your ladder will be greater than your past. The Bible said that your ladder will be greater than your past. I'm going to leave you with this. The Bible says that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for those that love him. Do you love God on today? Are you in love with God on today? Then leave your past behind you. And when you leave this place, you're going to leave free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No more chains binding me. Oh, what a blessing. The Bible says that who the Son sets free. If you truly have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. So I charge you today, Christian Charity, that when you leave this place, leave all your issues at the altar. If you need pastor to pray for you, leave them at the altar. If you don't know Jesus, come on up here. I don't care who's. See, we too worried about what other people think. If you don't know Jesus, you better get up here and get him today. I got to get my hair done first. No, you don't. Do you know people won't come up because their hair not done, because their shoes ain't right? None of that's going into the kingdom of heaven. If we die without Jesus as our Lord and Savior, in hell we will lift our eyes. Amen? Let's give God some praise on today.